This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it's Lee Salisbury here. Welcome to another edition of Soap from the Box, the behind-the-scenes podcast that speaks to some of the biggest stars of the biggest television shows. I hope you're having a great weekend. Today, a star of Albert Square. Training in acting, physical theatre and musical theatre in Dartford, followed by a three-year acting degree in Bournemouth. Just a year later, my guest today was cast as Ben Mitchell in EastEnders, the fifth, and not the last actor to take on the mantle. He's stayed in the show for a mighty 4 years and has gone on to tread the boards and appeared in some very fun shows. More on that later. It's a pleasure to welcome Mr. Harry Reid to the show. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. I'm so glad that you said the fifth as well, because people forget the babies, and I don't think that's fair at all. So well done you for doing the research.
Do you know who played the first Ben Mitchell?
What, baby-wise?
Yeah.
Well, I always get this confused. I'm going to say Matthew Silver,
yes,
but I think it's wrong.
Oh, my God, mate. Oh,
right.
Well done.
Now, listen, I know my stuff. I don't go into stuff not knowing things.
Yeah. Well, he was 96 to 98, so he got 2 years. Next, 99 he came back till another 2 years, the next guy did.
I can't remember. I always forget this name. Is it Dan? It's not Dan something. No,
Morgan Whittle. I mean, I didn't think you'd get any of these. I was so impressed you got the first one.
Morgan Whittle.
Next one.
I know the rest.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, Charlie Jones. Charlie Jones.
Yes.
Charlie Jones is the OG, Ben.
Hold on. He was 2006 till 2010. So he had, what, 7, 8, 9, 4 years. Next.
Yeah. Joshua Pascoe.
Yeah, he did 2 years. Then it was, of course, Harry Reid, you. Now he's just about to depart again, actually. But obviously, he's played by
now? Max Bowden. Max Bowden, yeah.
So, I mean, what's it like coming in as the, I suppose not the fifth, but did you, I mean, first of all, you know, you were cast literally straight out of uni. It must have been pretty immense, that.
Yeah, it was crazy. I always repeat the story of finding out, because it was such a change of lifestyle. I was sat on a makeshift toilet because I was stripping a council house in Woking, and toilet had already gone.
Thank God you said that. You said you were stripping as a career before.
No, I didn't get that. No, it's got dark at times in my life, leaving all that. I was sat on that, and my agent called me. I was on my lunch break, and that was when she told me I got the part, and I can safely say that the breakfast left my body.
I'm sure. And what did you do? Yeah, did you walk off straight away and be like, right, I'm an actor now?
No, I can't do that to the boys. No, it was just, I mean, don't get me wrong, it wasn't as much elbow grease involved in the second half of the day, but no, it's decorating my bread and butter. So it's something I dip in and out of whenever I'm not acting. It's I actually enjoy it. So it was just, it was nice to have that last afternoon with the lads and then go and do my thing.
Did you take them all out for a beer?
Well, I hadn't been paid yet, Lee, so
okay,
no.
I'm still on decorator's wage, mate.
Ain't happening.
And obviously, for people out there, I was on the show at the time, directing, obviously, and I remember, I think I got asked to show you around. I think I was one of the first people who met you.
I think you were, because I had a tour. I had a tour of the square before we started filming. I remember getting the part and then coming in and having a tour, and they were filming on the lot at the time, and I think maybe that was you then taking me, because there was a couple of people taking me around.
Well, my thing,
I mean,
is,
I remember
sorry,
our
I don't know
stuff
whether you
in
know,
the Mitchell House.
I don't know whether you know this, that it was because Barbara Windsor, God rest her soul, was there at the time, and I remember she wanted, when they decided to bring Ben Mitchell back and you got the part, I remember she was really keen because obviously we'll go into this, they were going to explore his homosexuality and stuff. And she was keen because she obviously, Barbara Windsor, what a life she had, knew the Cray brothers really well. And obviously one of the Cray brothers was gay. And so I remember her saying that she had been given a chance to watch the tapes of you guys who auditioned. And she was part of the reason you got the part because she loved you.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah,
I never knew
you,
that.
She thought you were the most kind of like, because obviously there was going to be this dark side to Ben coming out, even though he was quite dark anyway. But I mean, I don't know whether it's a compliment that you remind her of the craze, but amazing that she kind of absolutely adored you from day one.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. I did not know that. I love that. I mean, I'm still very good friends with Scott Mitchell.
Yeah, me too. What a guy.
So, yeah, he's an incredible bloke.
How do you approach a part of this? Obviously, there was a bit of a gap before you took over from Joshua, but did you, I mean, were you a fan of EastEnders? You don't need to say yes. I mean, had you watched Ben Mitchell in the square before?
So, I think like most, I think like, well, obviously it's a big show in this country, but I think like most people, I watched it growing up, like as a kid, you know, when I was at school, I watched all of them, you know, I did the, you know, the routine of watching Emmerdale on the, you know, on the Monday you had Emmerdale, Corrie, EastEnders, Corrie, didn't you? Because you had that double bill. So I did that, you know, I did the circuit of soaps all the way, I would say, up until about 16. And
when
then
you discovered
16,
going out.
Exactly. I discovered other parts of life.
Yes, yeah.
I then stopped watching any sort of soaps. But, you know, everyone, it's one of them shows, isn't it, where even if people don't watch it, you say a character, especially one of the Mitchells, and people know you're talking about. So it's not that I didn't know what was happening in that world, but no, I didn't watch it, you know, in the years prior to beforehand. But what I did do was when I got the part, I asked Mark Lowe, that was his name. Mark Lowe or James Lowe? One of the two. I think it's Mark. Yeah, Mark. It is Mark. Who's a really lovely guy, actually, and still checks in. He was the archivist there.
Oh, okay, right.
So he had all the old material, and I asked him to send me over. I was like, look, I can't watch every single ep that Josh has been in, but if you could send me the, you know, the big storylines, and just so I can have a look at certain things, because you know, it's the first time I've ever played a part where someone's done it before. You know, it's a recasted part.
Yeah.
And I always felt like, as much as I want to bring my own edge to it, which I felt I did, and my own character to it, at the same time, this is a character that is already born and the audience have already witnessed. And I found it to be a bit of an injustice if I didn't do that.
I suppose some of the traits and stuff that other actors have brought.
There were certain little ticks that I kind of took. And also just like, because I'd class myself as a method actor. And the reason I'd say that is certainly from an emotional standing point. Like I wanted to see what he had been through. Myself, because obviously I'm coming to the square with these things, the character, these things have happened. So there might be certain things that you carry. There might be certain triggers. We have them in life, you know, something will happen in our life. And when you've got something as traumatic normally as EastEnders in terms of the storylines, traumatic happens in your life, something will trigger that off, you know, whatever that may be. And it might be something really small and your reaction to it might be very inward and not exactly anyone noticing.
So I suppose knowing his relationship with the other people on the square, do you know what I mean, from the past?
Absolutely. Even just that. Yeah. Just the relationships of the people, the world that he's in and the storylines, you know, the big moments that have happened in the last couple of years. I did look into that and I took that with me to the job.
Because it's like people see Save in a different way, because it's like people go to stage shows and obviously don't really think twice. You know, people have seen, say, Mamma Mia 10 times, and you don't really think twice about that someone else is playing the part, you know, whereas soap people do have this thing of really, I remember when they brought back Michelle Fowler, and there was this huge backlash. I think she's coming back again, but it's weird that people take soap so much on board, don't they? Really, You know, I remember I read a story recently with James Bye, who plays Martin Fowler, and the original Martin Fowler, I can't remember his name. He went back to
James Alexander.
That's it. He went back to do a trainee directorship there. And one of his first scenes he directed was James playing Martin Fowler.
I must have been there for that then, because did James come in just after me?
No, I think this was quite recently, because James has been there years. But basically, James Alexander went back just recently to do Shadow of Director, but they hadn't told James Bye. So James Bye is acting Martin Fowler with Martin, the original one, now directing him.
That's weird. That's
only weird. In soap, isn't it?
It's an interesting point you just brought up. I'll just say on that, I think the reason for that is, mate, is because it's continuing. So yes. Obviously with West End shows, you know, I went and did Witness for the Prosecution. Yeah. I'm doing the story again. You know, I'm doing what that person's done again. So if I came in and I was doing Josh's years again, and then I'd go into my stuff, then I wouldn't invest in his stuff at all, because that's going to be my take. But because it's a continuing thing, and like you said, the fans are like that, they have big, I've seen them, big fucking conversations on Twitter, you know, really going into it, talking about the characters like their friends or family members. And so it's something that people are extremely invested in, and at the end of the day, fans pay your bills.
The thing isn't it now, because they're your judge and jury. But going back to your first, I mean, I remember meeting you, shagging around. I mean, for me, I've said this a few times before, you know, when I joined EastEnders, I was a massive fan. Like, you growing up, suddenly I'm directing, and my first night was The Fire, when I had everyone, June Brown, Pam St. Clement, Barbara, but Steve McFadden was the one I was most scared of, to be honest, because I mean, we became friends, and he's the most immense actor. And you talked about method. He's very method. And that you need to gain trust in, which I had to with Steve. But did you have that kind of like, what? He's a power force, isn't he? He's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I loved my relationship with Steve. The thing is with me, and you know this because you've met me, I lay all my cards on the table. This is me. If you don't like me, then that's fine. I will step away. But very much like Steve, exactly. And so I remember there was a moment, the moment where me and Steve, where Steve accepted me as one of his own, was in the Mitchell house, and it would have been your scenes, and we were sat around the table. I think it was just me, Tish, Tisha Dean, Sharon, Jamie Balfwick, Jay and Steve, and we were sat there, and I was looking down at the script, and he said something. I can't remember what he said, but he said something, and I went, "Oh, shut the fuck up, Steve." Like, I'm very familiar, you know, and I've only really known him for, you know, I met him at my audition, but I've only really been working with him for less than a week, and said that, and Tish and Jamie, I didn't see this because I'm looking down at the table. We're like, holy shit. And then looked at Steve, and Steve just smiled and sort of chuckled to himself and looked at the ground. And a lot of people said that for Steve, I reminded him of him a lot.
I remember for me, I remember in the pub we filmed, and it was The Fire when he was playing, you know, addicted to crack and stuff. And I remember he said to me on about my third day, "No, mate, I trust you." And I remember one of the crew members came up and went, "Oh, my God, that's like God talking to you." And I said, it felt like that. It was like, oh, my God, I've been accepted, which makes him sound. And it's not. It's just like when you gain someone's trust like that, you know you're doing all right. Do you know what I mean? Because he puts so much work into what he does. I mean, what a kind of mentor, I suppose, for you to have.
Absolutely. And let's respect the, you know, obviously we're all on the same shop floor, but let's respect that, you know, they've been there for donkeys and they've created these legacies, and Ben Mitchell wouldn't be so it wouldn't be so controversial or exciting or whatever you want to use for him coming back if it wasn't him and created that dynasty. So you know, it's working with him was incredible.
Well, I remember your first week, mate. I'm sure one of your, I don't know whether it is your first day, you might remember, but I remember, because I think I might have directed your first block. That's why I showed you around. And I remember we literally did a day in the garage of two-handers with
you
and Steve.
Yeah, when the Archers, yeah.
And I was like, wow, what a day. I mean, they never kind of give you a couple of scenes in the pub to start with. And I remember
the first day was in the Mitchell House. That was the first,
oh, was it? My okay.
first day. And that was intense as you like, because it was in a kitchen with Letitia Dean, Jamie Borthwick, and Phil and Steve McFadden. Three people have been on the show for over a decade each. And it's like, okay, that was really thrown in the deep. And then, yeah, I think the next day was then the Archers with Steve. Jamie was in the first couple of scenes, wasn't he? And then,
And then it was literally a whole day.
It was just Steve.
Neil McDermott said a really interesting thing on this. He played Ryan. He said he just watched kind of EastEnders. He hadn't watched it before he joined, really, but he watched it because of the level of acting. Because he's like, which is really interesting, that even Emmerdale has a different way of acting, I suppose. Do you know what I mean? It's like each show has a very different, you know, isn't it? It's kind of, but suddenly to go through the auditions, and I can never, no one out there can understand. I mean, you must have been, because you know your lines, you've come on set, you've kind of met them quickly, but it's so fast as well, isn't it? I suppose as a younger actor, you've not done the kind of massive films or massive theatres where you have loads of time to rehearse, but it's thrown in at the deep end, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, I got taught a couple of lessons pretty quickly. I remember walking in, seeing Steve. I think this was like my first day, and I saw Steve at the entrance, and he was like, "You're all right, all sorted." And I'm like, "Yeah, mate, I've learned all my lines for every single episode. Like, I know everything. I've been reading it all." And he and I remember he just turned to me. You know exactly what he's like, and he just looked at me. You know, he just says them very short lines.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just went, "It's not live.
It's not live."
I went, "All right. Okay, Steve. Oh, okay. All right." And then he just smiled and went, "It's not live," and walked off. And that, and I remember he did it, and I was like, "Okay, all right, that was interesting. I'll accept that." And then the next lesson was trying to change stuff, like little things, trying to change little things, and not having not being quick enough in terms of what stage of the process you can do that.
Yes,
because
yeah, learning
of the pace
that, yeah,
of the machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like I learned that later on and got to edit a lot with Michael Owen Morris when I did Kathy Come Home. So that was great. But at the very beginning, learning how that machine works. I mean, it is a machine. It is a literal
machine. Again, people listening, you don't really understand the process. Obviously, you get your scripts. I get the script. You have a script editor you can change stuff with. But often I always say this, as much as you're told and you used to get told off if we change stuff, you know, but the whole thing is a learning curve, I suppose. It's not until you get onto set with the actors. And luckily, when my reign at EastEnders, when I was there, they allowed you to change stuff on set without really phoning up about too much. Obviously, you're not changing the story, but because when you get there with a group of actors, it's, you know, it can change. You know, it's like that doesn't quite work.
Absolutely. But it's, I mean, I think the one thing that people are always amazed by when I tell them, which will be what your listeners would want to hear probably, is that at any point, I mean, you remember when we did the triple banks, you're working from 12, possibly 12 scripts at one time.
Oh, yeah,
and that as a, in terms of learning lines, in terms of learning lines and being able to just switch it on, that is the best training you could ever have.
And how did you find, you know, like on set as well, you'd not done, you know, a drama like EastEnders, because again, actors, newer actors, not only is it lines, but also it's like there's weird things on set because it's multi-camera. So basically, on other drama, say that single camera for everyone listening, you would relight. But on EastEnders, it's lit for three cameras. But that means you can't block a shot. You can't get in the light of someone's shot. Did you find that? Or a mark? You know, you have to hit your mark.
Oh, yeah, finding your mark. I mean, yeah, it's the technical training. That's what I mean in terms of...
Did you find that quite easy
to
pick up on?
The technical aspect. I was always quite good at hitting my mark.
I don't remember any problems of you just constantly going, "Oh, God."
Yeah, that's probably because it was my first one, so I was so tense. But the mark thing, I've always had a good peripheral vision, so that I found pretty easy to pick up. For people that don't know, hitting your mark is there's a mark on the floor of where you have to stand.
Not a real donut, by the way, everyone. Just there we call them donuts.
Yeah. And you have to be on it, because if you're not on it, then you're not going to be in the shot. And if you're slightly to the left or the right of it, then you're going to be covering someone else's shot. Multicam, learning that. I'll tell you what the thing I struggled with most, actually, because most of it I was pretty good with, but the thing I struggled with most was learning where to look in the room when there's multiple cameras and where to direct my voice. So I remember I watched a scene of me and I went into the fridge and I sounded like I was fucking Miles. It just sounded terrible. And I was like, oh my God, I got to work on that. And then I learned, and then you got like ADRs, learning how to pitch your voice as though you're in that room at that moment is so
really
hard.
And again, for people listening, ADRs are when afterwards you go, oh, that line, we need to pick up, you can't hear it. So you have to go into a voiceover suite. And like you said, pretend that you're in the scene. But I mean, let's talk about storylines, because you came in, basically Ben came back. He was released from prison when he learned Phil was having an affair with Shirley days before Sharon's wedding. Huge storyline. But obviously they brought you back with the intention of most of the storyline in the arc was going to be Ben's sexuality. How much did you know before you came in of how much that was going to happen?
Well, I mean, I knew straight away. I remember, I think it was Wayne, one of the casting directors, who said it. It was on my first audition. I sat down and very quickly they said, this is for a gay character, by the way, and there will be kissing. Are you okay with that? And I remember saying, if I weren't, I wouldn't be here, because it was quite obvious. I mean, this story, I must admit, I knew it was going to happen because it's always been the story of Ben, in terms of his sexuality, even when Charlie was playing it. Yeah. It was, you know, with the whole
thing. I suppose it was much more in the background, whereas you took on the mantle of,
coming
out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what I was actually excited about doing it, because I knew, first of all, I looked into, you know, how Ben was perceived at this point, and it wasn't good at all. Nobody liked him. He was deemed as a, you know, disgusting, and you just want to punch him in the face every time you see him, et cetera, et cetera. And so when we spoke about, you know, the story of him coming out and then eventually leading on to having Paul in the show, I knew that as soon as that happened, people would start to love him, because you'd see when you got someone who's
hiding the other side,
they can't be themselves, and that you don't feel comfortable with them, so you don't like them. And whereas as soon as he got the opportunity to be himself, he then you know, also Paul's someone who's really lovely and was also fit. You know, you're doing well, and people
what you did with that character is how you played it. And I remember Amanda Donahoe, who was in obviously Liar Liar and stuff in Hollywood, but came into Emmerdale. She said one of the things I'll always remember, she was playing a baddie, and she used to change quite a lot, because she was like, the thing is with a baddie, every character has to have a heart. You have to show a heart. Otherwise, they're just a pantomime baddie. So she kind of taught me that. And I think what was important with Ben, I think this is what's important with, I mean, obviously, there's a whole discussion which we won't have about now, whether a straight man can play a gay man. But what was important, I think, is for people out there to see a family like the Mitchells. You know, there'll be people, obviously, not to the extent of the Mitchells out there, but it's a different way of showing a gay. You know, there's a lot of gay people out there struggling in different walks of life. In Emmerdale, we had the farming family, the Dingles, and with Aaron, and in EastEnders, you know, having a dad like Phil Mitchell, you know, what that brings with it, you know. Which I think is so important.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the amount of people that reached out to me during the show was incredible. Oh, tons, Lee. I mean, so many boys from prison. The amount of times I got letters with HMP stamped on the front. Yeah, it was incredible. Like, so many. Like, it's popular. Just so everyone knows, EastEnders is popular in prison.
Yeah. And that's amazing, doesn't it? It shows that we are doing something that's actually not just TV.
Oh, 100%. Listen, the fan mail is stacked up. I remember because you collect it all from the same place, and it's stacked. Everyone's tray is stacked up all the time. Like it is. The people.
Who had the biggest tray?
I can't say that because that means they don't do it.
Oh, yeah, true.
Stacked up doesn't exactly mean that there's more coming in.
That means they're the laziest, yeah.
Exactly.
And then, like you said, you came in. First of all, you met, not you, the character met Johnny Carter, played by Sam Strike. That kind of was the first relationship. I mean, again, as a straight man, what is it like kind of, I mean, I know you're an actor, but what's it like suddenly having to do something that's not natural to you? Do you know what I mean? Because they're kissing scenes anyway. I mean, I used to hate, I remember doing a scene in Coronation Street with Michelle Keegan. It's always kind of like, because it's a massive set, isn't it? There's loads of people. Obviously, we're not doing anything really raunchy on soap, but still there's kind of, as well as your lines, as well as this, suddenly you've got a kiss on set.
Yeah.
And it's with something, you know, this is not, obviously this is not being anti-gay, but it's a situation you've not been in.
I mean, all my mates from home would tell you this. I'm very comfortable with everything. I mean, like you said, I am straight, but I'm not.
I did
have a moment with it when we did it, and I tell people this story because it's funny. We did the scene, and it was the doof doof as well.
Oh,
and
God,
for anyone listening, you have to hold it. You have to hold any doof doof for 15 seconds.
I know.
So we are having to snog away. And he has a Johnny, because I didn't kiss. I never kissed Sam. It was, Johnny Labby was my first kiss on screen. Because off screen, I did loads of kissing, obviously.
Yeah, off screen. Yeah,
all the time. I remember we did the kiss. So I can't remember. I think it was Dave Moore who directed it. He said cut. And then it was Dave Moore. I remember it. Yeah, it was Dave. And then we kissed, we pulled away, and the geezer inside of me just vomited out. And I ended up patting him on the chest and went, good one, bruv.
I'm amazing.
And walked off. Like, I'm trying to, style it out. What a clip. it was ridiculous. I felt like a right dickhead. And then I remember saying to Johnny, because me and Johnny become really good friends and still talk now. And I remember saying to him down the line, I was like, I'm sorry I felt a bit macho afterwards. I just didn't really know what to do, mate. I don't know, it was such a weird position to be in.
Naturally,
well, it's the first time. It's the first time. Like, what I can say is that it never happened again afterwards. Like, I never had that feeling afterwards, and I kissed in total
without patting on the chest and going, "Well done."
Yeah,
mate.
There was no more chest patting. There was no more chest patting. There was one actor who I will say this story. I won't say who it was, just because I won't. But I remember this is quite far in now. I've kissed a few people. And I remember he'd come in to do some scenes, and we were stood outside the set, and we're doing a rehearsal. So this is not being shot. It's not being recorded.
Oh, God.
And just doing a rehearsal. And he went, before we went in, he tapped me on the shoulder. And he was like, how do you feel about the kissing then? And I was like, well, just get on with it, man. It's cool, whatever. And he was like, okay, so should we just do it now? Get it out of the way. And I looked at him like, and it's just, but for everyone listening, it's an unspoken rule that in any kiss, by the way, even if it's a guy on girl or girl on girl, whatever kiss it is, you do it when it's being recorded.
Yes,
you don't rehearse the kiss.
No, you don't rehearse it.
So anyway, I was like, no, we'll just do it when they shoot it. He was like, oh, let's just do it now. Get it out of the way. I'm thinking, get it out of the way. We're going to kiss more. How does that work? Yeah. And then we've gone in and he's done the kiss. I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? And I sort of opened my eyes as it was happening. And I could just see the entire crew just behind him looking at me like, what?
Obviously, for people listening, obviously, you don't use tongues, but there's that whole unread conversation that Anyway,
that depends on the actor, Lou.
I know. Depends. I know. Oh,
that
God.
Depends on the actor. At the end
how
of the
you
day,
bring that
like,
up as well. I mean, it's like, oh my God, because again, yeah, I mean, you see Hollywood movies where they're supposed to be having a passionate kiss and they're literally just locking lips.
Yes,
you're
no.
like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, I'm like, the way I see it with the kissing, I've always said, because I've kissed people in different jobs, and some people I've found, like, I've found attractive, Harry would find attractive, and some people I haven't, but it doesn't change how I kiss them. But I will always take their lead, if I'm honest. Like, because I'm happy to do whatever. If someone wants to snog my face off, then fine. After this, whether I fancy you or not, nothing's happening because it's our job.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So if they want to snog, fine. If not, you don't. But what I can't stand is, like you just said, is stiff lip.
It needs to look real. And what you said actually is the way to do it, because in real life, you don't have a conversation before you kiss someone about how you're going to kiss them. So it should be that. It should be that. Anyway, off kissing. Well, actually, you tried to kiss Jay as well, the character. That relationship, you and Jay became really good mates. And I think EastEnders picked up on that. And you guys had this amazing relationship, the characters.
Yeah.
I think the best relationship he's had with that character, Jay. Must have been lovely to have that kind of, that brotherhood, really.
Yeah, it was gorgeous, to be honest. I mean, he was...
he's amazing. We have fucking...
He was wicked,
amazing.
Yeah. He was basically... I think my... I can't remember who my mentor was, because you have a mentor when you're there, which is just someone who's just there to look out for you, really. But
so
I can't remember
lunches.
Who mine was. But,
yeah,
pretty much, yeah. But I think, to be honest, Jamie kind of become that and introduced me to the world of EastEnders and he's very loved around there. So that meant that, you know, I was opened with warm embrace. Yeah. And in good hands. And yeah, it was, he was great. Like what we was able to do, which was great, as you've said, was transmit what we created off screen, on screen.
Yeah.
And there was little moments that we'd work on, like tiny stupid things, like a little handshake between Ben and Jay, or a little like, just a little moment, and we'd add stuff that we had in our lives into the show, because we acted out of the world like brothers anyway.
I think that added, mate, to the character then being liked. It wasn't just the storyline; it was the fact that we, through you and through Ben and Jay and your relationship with Jamie, it gave another side to Ben, which was because I do think Linda Henry had that when Heather was in it with Cheryl. It was a relationship that kind of formed offset and then kind of came onto the screen and gave Shirley, I don't think Shirley's had that since, that heart that we'd never seen before.
No, you're right. You're right. Listen, obviously, with the intensity, you know, there's no...
Until Ben killed Heather, by the way, obviously.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, it weren't me, so I don't take any responsibility for that. No. I think, you know, EastEnders is, well, soap, and that rate of recording is very different to any other show out there. You're always working, and it's more common for actors to be unemployed. And so when you're working that closely together all the time, if you can create an incredible bond with someone, you're able to put it on screen. It's brilliant. As you said, it is brilliant. And to be honest, we had, you know, there was a lot of chemistries there that also then are more difficult to pick up on because the characters hate each other or something like that. You know, there was a real, like, it was a real unit. That is one thing I would say at that place. It was, everyone was very together. And it really helped, especially like big ensemble scenes. We're all there, you know, in the vehicle, you know, on a Christmas when we're all out watching, looking at the tree or whatever, and someone's getting stabbed somewhere.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, Yeah, or someone sleeping with someone's daughter who's married to their son or whatever. It was great. And yeah, mine and Jamie's bond was brilliant. And we hit it off straight away. Like it was like that. It clicked like that. So it was great.
And then, I mean, let's leave Jamie behind. Not leave him behind. But then what I love is you were there for probably the biggest shock EastEnders ever did, which was, I think it was the live episode, when after being dead for 10 years, the cab door opening Kathy returned. I remember watching that at home going, oh my God. And you were there, obviously, being the son of God. Amazing to be there for that.
Oh, mate, we was all...
no one knew, did they? No one knew it was going to be Gillian.
No. No one knew. Like, I will confirm that fully, that absolutely not a single person knew. Yes, probably, because he was in the same money.
It was going to happen, yeah.
He was in the same money. He knew about it, but he found out very far down the line. But Steve is a source that they can trust. And, you know, he might have known before, but... You know, he ain't going to say anything.
So when did you guys know? Did you kind of only know when
I didn't know. I didn't know anything, Lee. I didn't know anything. I found out with everyone else when we were sat in the bar. They put a screen up so we could watch the episode.
That's amazing.
I'm absolutely half cut by this point. And then I see these pair of legs get out. Camera pans up and it's fucking Gillian Telforth. And I was like, oh my God. I remember Jamie just grabbed me and he was like, you're going to be busy, bruv.
I know. At the time, I was on Hollyoaks actually, and she had just left Hollyoaks. And I always remember she must have known by then. And she was like, oh no, I'd never. I remember she said something and I was like, oh, it's not you, is it? But I still didn't expect it. And again, amazing to work with someone. I mean, so many legends on that show. Again, working with Gillian. One of the most professional people I've ever worked with, just brilliant. Also, so much fun. I mean, it must be so exciting, again, when that person is related to your character.
Yeah, I knew. Well, I knew it was going to be very juicy, whatever we were going to be doing. And I was excited about it. And like I said earlier in the conversation, it was the one story that I really went to town on adding a few bits and investing myself in it. I shut my own mum out of my life whilst
really?
I was doing it.
Oh,
yeah, because I just
mum.
Didn't, I wanted to miss and I wanted to, like, because me and my mum are very close. Like, I speak to her nigh on every day, pretty much. We're very close. And so it was hard for me to... Like, because it's ridiculous. You need to convey that you thought your mum was dead your whole life and now she stood in front of you. Like, how the hell do you do that? Like, if I just ask you that now, you don't have an answer.
How do you do it? I mean, this is when, I mean, I suppose he said it's, and I'm not slagging off Hollyoaks here, but Hollyoaks is even more extreme, but it's how you do that when it's, you don't have, you know, in any storyline, you don't have the 4 months it would take to even say hi, maybe. I mean, it's like literally everything has to happen at breakneck speed, but you need to give it that reality, like you said. Otherwise, people are going to, you know, the whole premise of soap is ridiculous if we look at it. You know, how many people have killed and slept with each other in one street? But you need to be able to give it that realness, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. It does have to be a quick turn of emotion. It has to be a quick change in heart and feeling. But you can, you know, it can be done and it is done. And you see people do it. And the story was, I mean, I loved it. It was great. Gillian was great to work with. It brought me and Adam a lot closer. I was getting close. Obviously, I'm working with Adam Woodyatt as well.
He's
my half brother.
Yeah.
And so that obviously then sealed that. We were then working. I then, because what had happened is I'd spent majority of my time working with the Mitchells and being in those sort of storylines. And then suddenly I found myself crossing over and doing a lot of stuff with the Bills. And it was just another opportunity for me to work with someone brilliant and work on something juicy. I had a lot of big storylines there.
You did.
Which was nice.
The other one, we touched it with Johnny Laby, who played Paul. Obviously that relationship was, you know, a big relationship, and then he got killed. And again, how do you, I mean, you know, aside from the storylines, I suppose, just the technical, like, how do I love asking people, how do you find, like, crying? Do you have a way of crying? You know, I know Jenna Coleman has to listen to music. I remember Patsy Palmer, who played Bianca, could literally be laughing and then turn on the most heartbreaking performance. How do you find technical things like that?
Crying, I've never struggled with. The show Witness for the Prosecution that I did in County Hall. I cried every performance on that one.
Wow.
couple of times. So that I've never struggled with it. To be honest, it comes from
sound.
Staying
on your spotlight, mate, now. Kissing, crying.
It comes from a sadder, darker place. You know, it's because I've got a big box of crap inside me.
Yeah, was a go-to, yeah.
And I'm able to dip into that whenever I want. And so I can break myself as much as I want, whether that's a single tear or...
Without really kind of taking it home afterwards as well.
Yes, to a point.
I suppose
I still need to wind down. Like I there would be times, especially during that period, like after that, like during that storyline, when it got dark, there was time, like I was on set 12 hours a day crying relentlessly. And so I would go home with ridiculous headaches, migraines, whatever they were.
Yeah, of course.
And obviously there would be times when I can't talk to people and I need to switch off. Like I live by myself. So it's, I'm able to do that. Like, but it is, I don't take the character home with me, but I need to sometimes unwind. Process a lot of emotion and unwind, absolutely. Yeah
same with me directing, to be honest. You would take your day's work, not, you know, but it takes a while to cut, you know. It's like doing theater, isn't it? You can't just go to bed. But let's get to the end of EastEnders. Obviously loads happened since then in EastEnders. You left obviously under a big storyline, because then you started a relationship with Luke Browning, who was the son of James Wilmot Brown, who raped Ben's mum, of course, EastEnders. You left on a ferry with some money. What was it like ending? I mean, again, you know, change of life, isn't it, when a big show like that for you comes to an end?
Yeah, it was. I was fine with it. I was looking forward to, I'd wanted to go 6 months later. And then we had a meeting and they wanted me to go 6 months before I wanted to go. So it was fine. It was just 6 months earlier than what I'd have liked. I was excited to go and do new things. Like
with the character, you left with a bang. Again, you were so lucky, because basically it was storyline after storyline. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't really ever in the back of a cab, was it? So at least you left like, you know, your years in it. There was so much that happened, which is great.
Yeah, I loved it. I felt like we'd done. There are things that I wanted to do, but ultimately, when I look at it overall, I was pleased with what I give and what they give me, and the end was like you said, it was a fun ending, and a trip, you know, down to Dover to do that. It was a nice ending.
It was on EastEnders, going out somewhere. God, you got to go to Dover. I mean, mate, the luxury. And you got Chloe Tamsin, another legend.
Yes, yeah. And that was, again, like it just felt like, you know, cementing myself in scenes that will, you know, be watched over the years. And so, yeah, that was great, absolutely.
And then we'll talk about you quickly afterwards, you know, what you did. But how was it when you did find out he was coming back, played by someone else? Is that, it must be quite weird in a way.
Well, I've spoken openly about it. It's all there online. I am disappointed with how
it went down. Well, of course you would.
A lot of people would do 4 years there, lose that part, and it would tip them. And I get it. Like, I get why it would tip them.
We've had people on here totally that it did. You know, the boys, exactly. The Moon Brothers, it really, really affected them. But afterwards, let's be positive, because afterwards you went on to do play, first of all, witness for the prosecution. How was that doing, transferring to the stage?
I was banging, man. I absolutely loved it.
Totally different, isn't it? Because it's that buzz, you know, of, it's almost like you know, you get the feedback. You can change your performance every night. Do you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. And you can't get that. You can't get that buzz. You can't get that buzz anywhere. You can't get that buzz off a live audience. You don't get that anywhere. I don't care what anyone says. That buzz off a live audience when you're performing in any capacity is ridiculous. It fills you with so much adrenaline. It's crazy.
How was your first night? How was your first night on stage? Were you absolutely? I mean, I think every actor.
Look. The thing is that TV at that point was still more abnormal to me. Like, yes, I went missing. Like you said, I went missing theatre for 2 years. We did shows. We did three or four high budget shows a year. Then I've gone to uni and done another 11, 6, 7, 8 shows or whatever it was. And I'd then done a school tour before going to EastEnders. Like, in terms of theatre versus TV, I was more trained in theatre, and that's our roots. Like, we
were more at home there.
So to me, it's not like my first night. Like, I always have this thing which happens to me when I go out on stage. I don't know why, but every time I get to the door just before I'm about to walk on, I try and think of what I'm about to say, and I can't remember, and I've forgotten every single one of my lines. I can't remember anything I'm about to say. And I remember the first time it happened, I panicked like mad, and then I went out, and then I was just focused on trying to remember my script. It was crap. The first time I did it, I just gave this was on a different show. Once I learned this technique, I just gave this performance where I was someone trying to learn lines instead of actually acting. And then it happened again the next night. And I was like, but I know the fucking lines. Why is this happening? And it happens to me every time. And now, by the time, obviously, this is like I'm talking during training. By the time Witness come along, I now learned that there's this weird thing. And I've talked to other actors. It happens to them as well, where they just forget everything. The character, who they are, what they are, what they're doing here, what they're going to say, where they've been, where they're going, everything. Everything is gone. And then as soon as you walk out, it just floods into you and takes over you. It's the weirdest thing.
That's the best thing to have. I remember Sue Johnson on here, obviously legend, you know, Downton Abbey, Royal Family. And she says she always has that thing every show she does still, even though obviously people will be like, it's Sue Johnson. Always, she says she feels nervous. She has those feelings. And also she feels like she doesn't belong. But she said that's, you know, if you lose that, almost you should never lose that. You should always be nervous. You should always have that adrenaline. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think
if you lose
great.
That, like, basically you turn into the people we don't want to work with.
Yeah, you're someone who doesn't really care as well. If you haven't got that feeling inside you, you can't care because it can't be important enough or exciting or where you're meant to be. It's if it's seen as just whatever, then
and then go on. I said at the beginning you've done some fun shows as well. Apart from that, you did Celebrity Coach Trick, which I love. I mean, obviously not acting, but still everyone does all these shows. That must have been fun. Yeah. Who did you go on with?
Who was I on with?
Don't you get a partnership?
Yeah, well, no, I was. It was the first year they'd done a solo traveler, but then it was weird because I was paired up with another solo traveler on like the first day. So all it meant is that I didn't know who I was getting, basically.
Right. Okay.
And actually, the only reason for that was because I didn't know anyone that I could take. I was trying to take my best mate, but they was like, he ain't famous. And I was like, what do you fucking expect? I live in Gravesend. You want to pull out here, for fuck's sake. Like,
and they paired me up. Jay-Z.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm humble. I got my own mates. Like, and they paired me up with James Hill from, who did The Apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
He's a lovely geezer, actually. We had a really good laugh together.
He talks like a proper geezer as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, when he's not posing in the mirror.
But shows like that, they're hard work, aren't they? I mean, I know from factual telly, they are like, you know, you are filming the whole day.
Yeah, they're hard work, but, you know... Look, I'm not going to be here to slag off reality TV, but it's just not for me, mate, because it's
they're
hard work because they're irritating, as in doing them, irritating. Like, as soon as you come down to breakfast, it's 7 a.m, and then someone sticks a camera in your face, and I'm like, and they're like going, what are you having for breakfast, Harry? And I'm like, I don't fucking know yet, because I have looked at it for 4 seconds. Like,
I know,
The whole voting thing ruins it for you. Like they all love it. You go and watch, if you want to go and watch it, please go ahead and watch it and watch how I was in those voting, because I couldn't stand it.
No,
like, it was
awful,
this
horrible,
intense. I was like, why am I here?
Never do in real life, you know, because it's uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? No, and also, you can tell that most people obviously get drunk every night. And then the morning, the last thing you want at 7 o'clock in the morning, A, is to go paddle boarding. And B, to have a camera in your face.
It was just weird. It was weird. Look, I was skint at the end of the day, so that's why I was there.
Exactly.
I've got no problem admitting that.
No, yeah. You went on a coach. Amazing. Where did you go?
I know.
Because obviously, I would have loved to watch it. I didn't watch it.
No, of course you didn't. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
We started in Florence.
Oh, nice.
And then travelled through Italy. We were basically went down to the south, down to the coast. So we did Italy to the coast and then travelled along the coast into France.
Oh, nice. That's all right. That's, you know, it was not good, bad.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you something that was a nightmare is that on the first night in Florence, I just was an idiot because I am a bit of an idiot sometimes. And I didn't think that mosquitoes lived in places like Italy, but of course they fucking do. So I left my window open that night because it was so hot. I slept on my bed. Obviously, I had a fight with a mosquito in the night because the next day I had three sort of little dots on my face. And I've never had acne. So I was like, what's that?
No.
And I just saw these three dots. I thought, whatever. Anyway, throughout the day, a few of them are like, are you right, Harry? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? They're like, it's just your face. I'm like, what do you mean my face? And a few of them mentioned my face. Eventually, I looked in the mirror, absolutely smothered in mosquito bites, mate. And then I had to spend basically 2 weeks telling people that it was a mosquito and I haven't got some crazy skin condition. And then eventually,
James Hill, who's Mr. You know,
Mr. Pretty, it's ridiculous.
Sometimes, amazing.
You know, in some of the interviews, he'll hate me for that. No, actually, he won't care. In some of the interviews, he was like, oh, can't you take your hat off, Harry? And I'm like, no, I can't take my hat off. Why do you want me to take my hat off? He's like, she's got nice hair. Get your hair out now. I'm like, stop being such a tart. Let's just do the stupid interview. Like, it was, yeah. I mean, yeah, look, it was funny.
Well, mate, you learn a lesson, mosquitoes. They absolutely love me as well. So I think it's a good thing that mosquitoes love us. But it's pretty horrendous. Yeah. Right, we will end with this really quick fire round. Your favourite for this season. So you just have to quickly answer. What's your favorite of these things? Okay, your favorite meal?
Fuck me, steak.
Steak, oh, good. You know, going high. TV show?
Breaking Bad.
Oh, good.
No, Only Fools and Horses. I'm sorry. Only Fools and Horses.
I mean, God, yeah. Your favorite date ever?
My favorite date?
We're recording this on Valentine's Day as well, actually. So,
as in like a date in the diary?
Yeah, you know, the best date you've been on. A place or not the person?
I haven't been on many dates. I would probably say, well, my old man's business partner is Marco Pierre White, and I took a bird there once, so that was pretty bougie.
Nice. That's nice. Well, mate, that's very good. Yeah. Your favorite film? Hard.
Goodfellas.
Yeah,
Goodfellas.
Good choice. Favorite ice cream flavor?
I can't separate them. I can't because I'd have a scoop of each.
Can I guess what I think you're gonna say? And I don't know why I think you're gonna say it. You're gonna say mint choc chip.
Yeah, I'm so beige, aren't I?
Are you? No, because that's mine. I had a weird feeling that you would say that.
Yeah, mint choc chip. And then the other one I do love is a strawberry, like a banging strawberry ice cream where it's a bit wet.
How amazing that I knew that. And final one, hardest one, your favourite EastEnders character?
Well, other than Ben.
Other than Ben, of course, yeah. Yeah. Played by Harry Reid.
Yeah, oh yeah, obviously, yeah, that one, yeah. I would say it is the Alfie, but back in the day, Alfie.
Okay. Oh,
like
Alfie.
I don't like some of the choices they made with Alfie. But like the original, like I remember watching it as a kid and Alfie coming into it.
Alfie and Kat with
Shane just by himself,
yeah,
just
he did
this energy, this different light to EastEnders. It just
a bit of comedy,
suddenly there's
a bit of
this
light.
Bright shirt wearing, talking rubbish, so soft and lovely, and then pairing him up with the loudest mouth on the square. It was just like that moment was I really loved what Shane did with it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
I have to go with Sharon. I just love Sharon. But listen, mate, it has been amazing to have you on. I could talk to you for ages on it. Lovely to catch up. Thanks for coming on.
Nice pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me.
And obviously the best Ben Mitchell has been on the show, Harry Reid. Well, listen, mate, stay in touch and thank you.
No, mate, it was a pleasure, honestly. Thank you for that, Lee. Good to speak to you, mate. It's been too long.
Thank you so much to the brilliant Harry Reid for being a guest on Soap from the Box. Remember, there are over 100 episodes to listen to right now for free with some of the biggest stars of the biggest TV shows, plus some pop stars who you will love from the 80s, 90s and the noughties. I am back on Friday with a bonus edition speaking to a star of Strictly Come Dancing last year, very much known for her high leg. I think I've just given it away. Have a great week. I'll see you Friday.